Happy Friday, and thank you so much for downloading the Be Our Guest podcast. Today's episode of the show brought to you, as always, by the great team over at the Magic for Less Travel. The agents over at the Magic for Less are standing by right now to help you plan an awesome Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Disney Cruise Line vacation. These agents are experts in their fields. They travel to these destinations. They know the ships of the Disney Cruise Line. They know the itineraries. They know the parks of the Walt Disney World and Disneyland resorts. They know the resorts. They know the hotels. They're there to give you first-class concierge-level service each and every trip. And the best part about this is there's no agency fees whatsoever. You're going to get the same rate you would booking directly through Disney, and many times get lots of little goodies like Disney gift cards, autograph books, and more just for working with a professional over at the Magic for Less. Check them out today. They're over at themagicforless.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 816 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Hope that you're having a great Friday. Let's start the weekend, actually. This is like the most anticlimactic weekend of the year because we had the Super Bowl last weekend and, you know, we had Groundhog Day. I guess that's something this past Monday, but it's just like, bring on baseball in spring now. I don't know what to do with myself because I'm not a basketball fan. So we're here to help you get through it. The one thing is you have lots of time to listen to podcasts. So that's where we are right now. So today we're going to have a kind of a different show, but you know, we can all learn a little bit. And you know, I'm kind of actually excited to get to talk about something. We've done, you know, 815 or 16 podcasts. So let's delve into something a little bit different today and have some fun. And again, we're going to talk about this March Madness coming up next month on the podcast here at the end of the show. So make sure you stay tuned for that. But joining me today, and you know what? I have no idea what music's playing under the show because I'll be honest, I don't have any Universal music, man. I'm a Disney guy.
Or something.
It's probably just blank. It's probably just us. I'll find something. I don't know.
Harry Potter.
I've never seen a Spider-Man movie. I've never seen any.
Just search for Harry Potter background.
Spider-Man.
I'm cheap. Yeah, there you go. That'll be perfect. Sweet. All right, you've heard her. She's from touringplans.com and disneyworldafterall.com. We have Ricky. Happy Friday, Ricky.
I'm talking Horcruxes today. It'll be a great day. I hope you've got your cup of warm butterbeer in hand and you're ready to go, because I am.
You know, for somebody that doesn't read the books or know anything, I mean, never seen a movie, knows nothing about Harry Potter, just butter beer sounds so gross. Because like,
oh no, it's,
I don't like beer.
Oh my god, Pam, did you try the warm butter beer? Oh gosh, butter beer is the most delicious thing. Like seriously. It's so good. It's something that's been in the Harry Potter books. So if you've read Harry Potter, you have heard of butterbeer. But it's not really beer. It's like this delicious concoction of like butterscotch and vanilla and just, oh my God. It's so
really
good.
I don't like butterscotch.
It's so good. No. I don't really like it either. But when you drink this, you're like, oh my God, that's the best thing ever. So yeah, it's really good.
Are you like that because it's good, or are you like that because of the hype?
No. I because trust me, I'm very picky about what I drink, and if I don't like it, I will spit it out. So I've done that before. So this is actually like legitimately good. So because I tried pumpkin juice too, and we're totally going off topic already. But I've tried pumpkin juice too as well, and I didn't like that as much. So.
See, I liked pumpkin juice, and I don't really like sweet stuff, so.
Yeah. So anyway, we've already gone off topic. So
wasn't that a song by Nelly? No, never mind. Also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester. What's up, Pam?
I'm happy to be talking about Harry Potter. Actually, Harry Potter. So
and
I mean,
all things
I don't,
Universal. That's
and
right.
All things Universal. Yeah, I really am. So I'm glad that we finally talked Mike into doing it. Mm-hmm. No, we did not have to threaten or anything else. He willingly decided to do it. So
What'd you say? Get to that can't talk.
We put a spell on him.
We did. That's good.
Well, here's what we're gonna do today. And again, you know, it's February, and We want to kind of expand on the show. This is always going to be a Disney podcast. I know I talked to my good friend Brian down in Springfield. I am a Disney fan. Don't get me wrong. It's always going to be about Disney. But we want to kind of talk about, you know, for a Disney fan who goes to Walt Disney World, and, you know, whether you've been there once or maybe 100 times, you go down to the Central Florida area, you probably saw maybe the Universal commercial during the Super Bowl last Sunday. They had a Super Bowl commercial, and they definitely, you know, kind of took small digs at Disney during that, you know, because they're trying to give themselves a little, you know, making themselves different than Disney. They offer a different product in many ways. So today I thought we'd kind of talk about that, what you might expect if you've never been over there. I'll be honest, I have been to Universal once, way, way back in the day when it was just Universal Studios Florida. I remember doing things mostly kind of like movie simulator kind of things. Like I remember doing, I think it was T2, like Terminator. I did E.T. There was some like King Kong ride or like an earthquake ride. And
that's still there.
So, I mean, then that stuff was fine. But, you know, I'm more of like the, you know, physical like ride kind of, you know, thing. But this is way back like in the early 90s or something. So it's changed and it's a totally different experience now. So I thought we kind of just dive into, you know, if you're going over to Universal Studios, you know, as far as like hotels and, you know, a lot of people ask, do they have a dining plan? What's it like? And, you know, what is all the hype of Harry Potter? You know, so I thought we'd try to touch on that in the next 25, 30 minutes and just kind of just get that out there and have a conversation, you know, that we're all family here and we're just going to talk about it here on a Friday. So, Pam, let's start off with you. And, you know, what is Universal? Because it's changing. You know, they've really hitched their wagon. We talked about this a couple months ago to the Harry Potter thing. But is it not much more than just Harry Potter?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, the Universal Orlando Resort is comprised of the two theme parks, Island of Adventure and also Universal Studios, and also the three deluxe on-site resorts. And then now we have another resort, Cabana Bay. So there is Portofino, Royal Pacific, and also the Hard Rock Hotel are available. They're your three deluxe on-site hotels. The benefit of staying at one of the deluxe hotels is that you have the Universal Express Pass, which lets you get front-of-the-line access to just about every attraction there. And it works in a way better than FastPass. You don't have to schedule it or anything like that. But in addition, you don't have to have a paper ticket either. You just show them that you're staying on site and you go to the front of the line. So it's a really awesome benefit and definitely worth the cost of staying at one of the resorts if you're considering that. And then Cabana Bay, while it's still an on-site hotel, does not have access to the Express Pass. It does have access to the on-site benefit of getting in an hour early to the two Harry Potter areas of the park, but it does not have Express Pass. And so that's something that you have to consider. It's, you know, price versus, you know, the convenience of it. So something to think about there. But yes, so Islands of Adventure and Universal Studios both have a lot of different lands, just like the Disney parks. And in each of the parks, they each have a land that's dedicated to the Wizarding World of Harry Potter. So,
okay. So yes. While we're still in the hotels here, because then we'll jump into the parks, because I know Ricky's, you got a lot to talk about in the parks, but Pam, I know you've stayed at over at Universal in the hotels. Kind of compare those hotels, and you mentioned they're deluxe properties, and Cabana Bay is kind of more on the order of like a value slash moderate as far as its price point and so forth. But, you know, I'll tell you, I've seen Cabana Bay material. I haven't stayed there, but the theming looks awesome. That's right up my alley. Kind of that 50, like mid-century, like, or whatever. Right. That's, you know, the retro stuff. I think they even use like Zest in the showers and stuff, or, you know, whatever, like those old, I forget what it was, like
VO5,
the old shampoos.
Yeah,
like that. I mean, that's very cool. I mean, I'll get that hotel. Of anything down there, that hotel like has me excited. I'd love to stay there. I might do that a few nights just because it just seems very like it's just totally my theming. I love that kind of stuff. But talk to us, Pam, real quick about, you know, compare those hotels to the Disney hotels, because we know like what a deluxe is, like the Polynesian, the Beach Club. What's, you know, what's maybe something they do better over at Universal, and what's something maybe that Disney does better when it comes to their hotels?
So I think of the three hotels, Portofino is my favorite. Just one of the reasons why is I really like the theme. It's themed after an Italian village, and it feels very much like that. You know, their slogan is La Dolce Vita, and you know, the good life, and you know, it's always just kind of a cool place to be. But I like all three of the hotels, and I think they all really do a great job with the theming. Now, the Hard Rock Hotel is a Hard Rock Hotel, and you know, that is pretty standard. You know, there are differences based on the location, but I think that if you have an idea about what a Hard Rock Hotel is, then this will give you a good idea here what it will be like there. The Royal Pacific is a more tropical location. It has a huge pool area, and as soon as you walk in, you kind of feel like you're in a tropical oasis. I really love that theme too. Of the three, Portofino is the most expensive, but it's not that much more than the other hotels. The rooms are fairly large. I think that they may be a little bigger than most of the deluxe resorts at Disney. In some ways, they feel very plush in that they have like Keurigs in the room with little Keurig things, and their toiletries feel very plush, and the towels and just the decor. And not that I'm saying they feel like, I don't know. I know that sometimes people say like the Grand Floridian stuffy. I don't mean like that. I just mean that every time we've stayed there, it has felt like a really luxurious experience. And that's at whether we stayed at Portofino or Hard Rock or at Royal Pacific, which is the least expensive of the three deluxe hotels. I just find that it's a really cool experience. And all three of the deluxe hotels also have water taxis available to take you to the parks. So that's a cool feature too. They're also within walking distance, but the water taxi is nice to have sometimes.
Now, are these hotels like the same size as, say, like a Polynesian or a beach club, or they tend to be smaller?
That's a great question. It's really different in that while, you know, the Polynesian is a lot of different buildings, Portofino, on the other hand, is really more like one big building, all with interior corridors and things like that. So that's different. And that's the same with Hard Rock and Portofino or Royal Pacific. Now, there are a couple different towers in Royal Pacific, but they're still really the same resort hotel, and you aren't going outside. And also, you're in kind of a high-rise situation. So that's different than a lot of Disney hotels, too.
Interesting. And, you know, and it sounds, you know, very, very much kind of akin to the Disney experience, where you got the themed area, you know, like you can go with your theme, like you said, with Portofino, that Italian village. You got, you know, these other places you can go more tropical, and you can go, you know, as hard, you kind of mentioned that Hard Rock is kind of like your typical Hard Rock hotel. So would that be, and I'm not trying to sound like totally just like a Disney homer, but I mean, I am, that's my thing. And I know you guys, and I might step outside the box, who knows? I'm very, you know, I love
he
my Disney. This is hard on me. This is hard
there
for me. I know I might, but you know, I would imagine Hard Rock maybe might not have as many families, or maybe it does. Maybe it's just a preconceived notion. I don't know.
It actually does. It's one of Hard Rock is typically the one that sells out first. Believe it or not, it just
probably
is
because the name recognition.
Exactly, people know the name. And
see, I see like Kid Rock like hanging in the pool with like a six pack of Bud or something. You know, that's what I picture.
I mean, He doesn't have anything else to do.
It's actually really family oriented, and like a great selling point for the Hard Rock, I know, is like the Polynesian. Their main pool, has water or has music playing underwater, things like that, things that are really typical. But the thing is, that's cool about the Hard Rock is it's really in keeping with the theme. And that's something that I will say that Universal does really well, is that they keep really well with that theme of the resort, and the restaurants in there keep with the theme. So, I mean, in that space, you know, they very much complement each other, Disney and Universal.
All right, well, let's hop over to the parks, and let's not forget through this whole conversation that Universal's been kind of smart in what they've done, especially in the last 5 years, is that they've hired away a lot of former Disney Imagineers to go over there and kind of do their magic. So a lot of these things will be, you know, I mean, you copy, you know, Apple's, I love learning about the Apple company, because I'm just amazed at their products and how much global presence they have, and they're a copy company. You know, they see something and they're not the first to do it, but they do it better because they learn from the other guys. What did they do well? Okay, how can we make that better? And I think in my heart, Universal's, you know, they've always seen what Disney does, and they probably say, Disney does this well, let's kind of model that, and you know, maybe we can tweak this to make this fit our audience better. So Let's hop into the parks, Ricky. So, you know, talk to us about it. You know, you're a Disney fan. You got your four theme parks, two water parks. It's a much larger, you know, yes, footprint and a lot more choices. But, you know, what's that experience like when you go over to Universal?
Oh, my gosh. Well, it just, you know, it's different. And not necessarily, obviously not in a bad way. It's just different. For me, I am a theme park person. I am obviously a Disney person, but I enjoy theme parks overall. You know, I have no qualms with going to Six Flags. I have fun at Six Flags. I have fun. I mean, heck, there was a little dinky theme park in New Mexico in Albuquerque that I went to, and we had a blast at it. So, I mean, that just tells you, like, I like carnivals. So theme parks are like, you know, I like that whole atmosphere.
The Valley of Flowers. I mean,
I like the Valley of Flowers, that kind of thing. So, yeah, this was the little dinky theme park is a little more than the Valley of Flowers, but not by much, I'm telling you. It was not by much. So, anyway, but, you know, Universal really has been hitting it out of the park lately with their theming as well. You know, Pam had talked about the theming of the resorts. And what Universal has been doing with the theming of their particular areas has been just top-notch, stellar as well. I mean, you of course, the big areas are going to be Harry Potter. That's what's going to draw a lot of people into Universal. I mean, let's be honest, that's what drew me big time in a Universal fair, because I am a big Harry Potter fan. I've read the books, I've seen the movies. Anytime they're on ABC Family, I will turn them on, and they will be on my TV pretty much all weekend, even though I've seen them about a million times. So Harry Potter is, and I'll read the books over and over again, you know, like Harry Potter is my go-to. Like, I legit watch it all the time. Harry Potter is redonkulous, I'm gonna tell you. It is just, you actually step into the world. You leave everything behind. I mean, it's just legitimately, you are in London, you are in Hogsmeade, you are in Diagon Alley, you are there. So it's just, I mean, I've been to Hogsmeade before. I just went to Diagon Alley for the first time, obviously, because it just opened this year, but I went there in January. And so it was nice to compare the two areas as well, to see kind of what Universal learned from Hogsmeade. And just, oh my Lord, Diagon Alley is, wow. I mean, there's just no words. You cannot imagine. For people who have read Harry Potter, you know, you've got, you've got the dragon on top of there that does breathe fire, and you've got, you know, the Leaky Cauldron, which is their counter service restaurant. And I actually ate there. It's just fantastic. I love what they do, because it's not, and I love what Universal is doing in the regards of food for a lot of things. They did this with the Simpsons area as well, which I'll get to, but a Leaky Cauldron, it's not, you know, your traditional burgers, fries, and, you know, what you think of when you think of theme park fare. This is,
I don't know if I want to eat at a place that has leaky in the name, but yeah,
no. It's part of the book. It's part of the book. You actually see the Leaky Cauldron in there, by the way. There's a big giant cauldron, and it's got a crack in it where it, you know, it leaks out. But anyway, the theming there, I'm telling you, the theming is fantastic. They have things like, and what I got was the cottage pie, which is, you know, I mean, if you had like shepherd's pie, it's kind of the same thing in a way, just prepared with different meat. And with it, instead of fries, they give you a salad, which I think is fantastic. I don't even like salad. And I was like, yes, give me salad, because I love the option. I love that it's an option for people. I mean, I just, oh my God, you can't, like, you step into Nocturne Alley, which is the area for the Dark Wizards. And it's just, I mean, it's like, it's real. Like, I mean, it's so, it's dark in there, and because it's themed around, it's nighttime always. It's kind of a skulky place you don't want to go to, you don't want to be caught in, and it's just, it's fantastic what they've done there. You really feel like you're skulking around this area that you really shouldn't be in. And to go into Borgin and Burks, which is the Dark Wizard shop, the shops, oh my God, those are just, I mean, if you dreamed about Harry Potter and wanted to buy anything Harry Potter, this is where you go, because you're going to get it. It's going to be ridiculously themed. It's so fantastic what they have. I'm gushing, I know, but I'm a huge Harry Potter nerd, and this is just, I mean, it was so fantastic. They have two performances for Diagon Alley, Celestina Warbeck, I think that's what it is. And that one I've heard is just fantastic, this fantastic singer. They also have, The Tales of Beetles of the Bard, which is another puppet show, which again, I've heard just fantastic things about. The problem with my trip this past time was I literally had a day to cram in everything Universal. So I was just running from one thing to the next. So I wished I would have gotten to spend more time in Diagon Alley as well as Hogsmeade. I cannot say enough. You definitely, if you're a Harry Potter fan, you definitely want to get the park-to-park ticket. Because you get to ride, you know, the Hogwarts Express, which, oh my God, I stepped on the Hogwarts Express and I just was grinning from ear to ear because I was like, oh my God, it's the Hogwarts Express. I'm riding the train, the Harry Road. Like, this is legit. This is so cool. It's an actual train. It takes you to and from Islands of Adventure and Universal Studios Florida, which, you know, so it takes you in between the two. I suggest going both ways because you're going to see a different show both ways. I won't spoil anything because I did not get spoiled on anything with Diagon Alley, really, which was fantastic. So you have to go on the Hogwarts Express. It's just, it's legit, I'm telling you. And then, of course, you have to do the two attractions if you're a Harry Potter fan. The older attraction is both are just fantastic. You got Harry Potter and the Forbidden Journey. This is a Kuka Arm attraction. It takes you into... you're following around with Harry. You're at Hogwarts. It utilizes video screen a lot. That's what I will say. Universal does utilize a lot of video screens, so just know that going in. But they don't take away from the attractions, in my opinion. They definitely enhance the attractions, and they're part of the whole experience. But it does utilize video screens as well as some physical props, which, holy cow, some of those props, like, scare the bejesus out of me. if the Dementors, oh my God, those are very scary. But I know I'm saying things that Mike has no idea what I'm saying, but that's okay.
They don't scare me, so it's okay.
Yeah, exactly. They suck your soul, so just so you know.
This is kind of like some of my podcast hosts.
Yeah. Thanks. But Harry Potter and the Forbidden Journey is fantastic as well. And then I got to do Gringotts, and like I said, I had not spoiled myself from Gringotts. I stayed away from everything, which, I mean, you do know who I am. I live and breathe Disney, and, you know, I get all my blogs for Universal and stuff like that. So it was very hard to stay away from spoilers on this, but I did it. And especially not knowing when I was going to get there, I did very well. Oh, my Lord. Gringotts was fantastic. It just... I do say it was a tiny bit short. That's the only thing I have against it. Like, the whole thing was, it was, oh my God, that pre-show and the walking in into, you know, Gringotts. It's, you could swear that the it was real. Like, you could swear, you could swear that the goblins were looking at you. And, you know, it was fantastic. And the way to get to the vaults, it's a show in itself. Gushing again. I'm sorry. I'm gushing. I know it's Harry Potter and I'm gushing because I'm a huge Harry Potter nerd. But I just was absolutely floored about the whole Harry Potter section. And of course, that's not all that's there, but I guess I'll let Pam kind of mention a little bit about the Harry Potter section because, you know, I've been talking nonstop for a while.
Let me jump in here though for a second. Just ask. Okay. So for somebody that's a novice at all this, so Hogsmeade and Diagon Alley, are they like the equivalent of a land at the, like, say, at the Magic Kingdom, or are they bigger, smaller?
They're,
are they like a section?
Lands.
They're two lands.
So each
Hogsmeade
a land.
Hogsmeade is in Islands of Adventure, And yes. Diagon Alley is in Universal Studios.
Correct.
So they put them in different parks. They get that park-to-park ticket, so you have to go back and forth on the train.
But it's worth it, I'm telling you. If you're a Harry Potter fan, it's totally worth it. You want to ride the Hogwarts Express.
Okay, one question, then I'm going to get it to Pam, because I know Pam wants to talk about it. And I want to, you know, we have about 15 minutes left, but I want to make sure we talk about the other stuff besides Harry Potter.
Yes,
but,
yes. Okay, so Harry Potter is the gateway drug into it all, basically.
Well, and that's kind of what my question is here. Is it because, you know, and I think this is true of Star Wars, too, that... Like you said at the top, Ricky, you could watch these movies over and over, read the books over and over. I'm the same way with Star Wars. You know, Star Wars comes on Spike. I can watch all six movies right there in a row. I can't wait till December to see the seventh movie. And, you know, people dress up like Stormtroopers and Darth Vader and Boba Fett. People do the same for Harry Potter. Like, I know Kayla dresses up and, you know, other people, you know, wear the ties and the wands and the white shirts and all that. I don't know, you know, and you have whatever house you live in or whatever. But, I mean, is that why? And for somebody that's a casual... Just somebody who wants to go and ride rides like me. I could, you know, I've never read a book. I mean, but it sounds like just because of the theming, it'd be a cool experience.
Absolutely. You, even if you've never read a single book, if you've never seen a single movie, you're going to enjoy it. You're going to get something out of it. And you're going to be wowed by it. Your jaw is just going to drop because it's that themed. It's that fantastically done.
All right, Pam.
That's just my take.
Okay, cool. So, Pam, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, for sure. And I do want to say, too, even if you don't like Harry Potter in the least, even if you've read the books and don't like them at all, you would still enjoy a visit to Universal Studios. I mean, I think that maybe there are some people who are thinking, well, I don't really want to do Universal Studios because I don't know anything about Harry Potter. I don't like theme parks I don't like amusement parks. Mm-hmm. I like theme parks. And these are theme parks, like a Disney park. They are very themed. They have themed lands. Like, there is more to Universal Studios than the Harry Potter thing.
Absolutely.
It's just that right now, since that's the new thing, so many people are talking about it. Just like if a brand new land opened up at Disney World, that's all you would hear about for a while. So... Anyways, you know, there are other lands like at a Disney park. There are other lands and you're going to be able to do other things. For instance, at Universal Studios, you're going to be able to ride the Minion attraction, the Despicable Me Minion Mayhem, or Hollywood Rip Ride Rocket. I think you've all seen that, right? Yeah.
Can I tell you? Like, I just want to jump in real quick. That ride scared the bejesus out of me, but it was so much fun all at once. Like, I was like, because we literally walked on it, and you get to pick the music, and so we're like that you listen to while you're riding it.
Can you pick It's a Small World?
No, but you can pick Rainbow Correction if you know the right number. But anyway, so like we are literally getting on it, and I missed my window of opportunity because I was playing with what song I wanted to hear. That I ended up getting some techno thing on it. You know, that's what I took off with, and I didn't have time because you go straight up immediately as soon as you that's the first thing you do is you see it and you go straight up, and I didn't have time to freak out about because I don't like that. I didn't have time to freak out about it, and it was from that second on, it was just me and my brother were just laughing our butts off because it was just such an intense fun attraction. And I'm sorry to interrupt, but it was
It really is. No, there's some really great rides there, but there's like the Simpsons ride, and there's a whole Simpsons land where there's themed restaurants and things like that. There's a Shrek 4D attraction, a Revenge of the Mummy ride, Men in Black. This is one of the ones that my family keeps teasing me they're going to take away, but I love this attraction. There's just something about it that I really love. An E.T. adventure and a Terminator 2 ride. So there's just so many things that you can do there that don't have anything to do with Harry Potter.
Absolutely.
And then there's shows. You know, there's so many, there's good shows. It's like they say that it's a working TV production facility. And that's true. I do believe that they do still film a few things there.
Double Dare.
No.
Double Dare 2015.
No.
Global Guts.
That would be awesome.
But I mean, there's just, you know, there's so many things. And then over at Islands Adventure, that's the newer of the parks. They really worked hard to, you know, bring in some themed lands there too. And I will say, like Disney, as you walk through the themed lands, the music changes, the ground changes, the light fixtures change. it's all just really cool. One of the things I think is really neat, especially for younger kids, is the whole Seuss landing part, yeah. which has all the Dr. Seuss things. Not a straight line in it is supposedly, you know, the deal with that, which I think is really cool that they just took that attention to detail and really carried it through the parks that way. There's a Jurassic Park attraction in land. There's a whole cartoon land that has some great attractions there. And then you have things
a lot
like,
of water attractions there, actually. You're going to get wet in that land.
That is so, very, very true. Yeah. There is. And then you have the whole Marvel superheroes land where you have the Incredible Hulk coaster and Doctor Doom's Fearfall. And the Amazing Adventures of Spider-Man, which really was an innovative attraction and continues to be because they've upgraded it kind of like they do, you know, with the Tower of Terror every now and then. But, you know, the first time I rode that attraction, I was just so impressed with the technology and the way that they've instituted it. And I think it was really at that point where, you know, when I first went into Islands of Adventure and felt like there was really no need for me to be like, I like Disney or I like Universal.
Right.
I think you're really limiting yourself if you don't at least, you know, if you don't at least try it and see what you like. Some people won't like it. Some people will like it more. But to say that it's an either or proposition, I think you're really limiting yourself and you're going to miss out. I also think that there's some great dining opportunities, both in the parks, in the resorts, and at City Walk, which is a lot of fun. I think that City Walk has a lot of big pluses to it. They just brought in a bunch of new restaurants that are really getting some great buzz. We've eaten at a few of them, really enjoyed it, and enjoyed the shopping experiences there at City Walk. You know, I'd most equate it to a Disney person like as a downtown Disney.
Yeah.
But I feel like the restaurants that they have there are really kind of innovative and maybe have kind of more of a draw as a destination. And it'll be interesting to see what Downtown Disney becomes as it becomes Disney Springs and how those restaurants, you know, come in. But they have places like Cowfish and Antojitos and Margaritaville.
Yeah, those are always fun.
I mean, there's just so many things there. There's also more of a nightlife maybe that occurs, you know, later into the night where there's like clubs and things like that. But there's also some fine dining opportunities like Emeralds. Emerald also has a restaurant at the Royal Pacific called Chop Chop.
That's good too.
Yeah, and it is. It's great. We've eaten there so many times just because we keep going back. We love it. We always have great food there. So there's really a ton to do. And I think that while, you know, some parents may head to Universal for any number of reasons, right? They're trying to see the Harry Potter stuff, or they have teens that they think, you know, the attractions may appeal to. And I think that that is a plus for Universal, that there are more of the, quote, thrill attractions, too.
Absolutely.
But I find myself enjoying Universal a lot of the way that I enjoy Disney. Like, I like being there. I like soaking up the atmosphere. So, I mean, that's something to consider, too.
Well, so we're running a little long, but let me ask you this kind of in wrapping this up. So people always ask, you know, the big question that we get a lot is, you know, I want to go to Walt Disney World. You know, what's the optimal amount of time without breaking the bank? You know, and you're never going to see everything of Walt Disney World in a trip, whether you stay for 10 nights or whatever, you know. So I say, you know, try to go 4 or 5 nights minimum so you can at least, you know, see a good sampling of stuff and not have to run, you know, solid is constantly so hard all the time. But, you know, 7 nights is a pretty optimal time for Walt Disney World. So, Pam, what would you say for somebody that really wants to get to dive in there and experience what Universal has to offer? I mean, obviously, I'm not thinking it's 7 nights, but what would you say a good length of time would be?
I honestly think, you know, if you really want to do Universal, I think that if you do it for 2 nights, that will be a good time. And the reason why I say that 2 nights would be, is that, first of all, it doesn't have 4 parks like Walt Disney World. So that's something, you know, you only have the 2 parks and they aren't as big as the Disney parks. But when you get 2 nights, especially if you're staying on site, Universal allows you to use the Express Pass then for 3 days. So the day that you check in and then the next day And then the following day, the day that you're checking out, you still get to have Express Pass that whole day. So that's something to consider. You know, I mentioned it before, but it bears mentioning again that I would really try to stay on site if possible. I realize that, you know, that it's cost prohibitive in some points, but it's just something to consider. I think you will really find your stay more enjoyable. And it's kind of like the Disney experience too. When you're staying on site, you kind of are, quote, surrounded by the magic 24 hours a day. Well, I feel the same way at Universal. You're really surrounded by the themed experience 24 hours a day. Their pools are fantastic. Their, you know, restaurants are great. You'll find enough to do. So, you know, I really recommend that. Can you do Universal in a day? You could. You couldn't do everything.
Yeah. No, no. And but that's proof from my last visit. No, you can't do everything. You'll see a lot, but
right.
You won't see it all. And, yeah. You know, so I wouldn't try to necessarily do it all in a day unless you would like to kill yourself. You know, like just right. Running yourself ragged. Like, that's the only way you'll manage it. So,
but there is, yeah. And there's stuff to enjoy too. I didn't get a chance to really go into this, but at night, one of the Universal parks has a nighttime show too. And it's not really like a Disney fireworks show. I would say it's like a lot of water screens and the things they're projecting on it, but I really enjoyed it. I loved the way that it was like a retrospective of movies and things like that. So that's something to consider too. I mean, there is stuff to do from start to finish. So, you know, there's really, I think you need to go on the site and look at to see what's there at Universal to see if there's something that appeals to you and really just keep an open mind.
And for those Absolutely. Who don't know, Universal geographically is only about 10 to 15 minutes from Walt Disney World, right?
Yeah, it's not far at all. So
it's not far at all. And there's actually there's some transportation options that we have available from Disney Resorts to get you to and from Universal. Or if you want to transfer from your Universal Resort to your Disney Resort, if you want to tack it on to the beginning or tack it on to the end, we can help make you that happen. So, I mean, something to consider.
All right. Well, that's going to wrap it up for our Universal show. Hopefully you enjoyed it. You know, kind of fun. I learned a whole bunch. And, you know, I think Pam said it right, that you really don't have to, you know, say, oh, I'm turning my back on Disney if you go over there and just check it out. You know, I totally get that. And, you know, it's a new experience. Like Ricky, you know, I can go to my Six Flags and have a good time. It's not Walt Disney World to me. It definitely isn't. But it can be a fun day with the family. And, you know, in the end, that's what this is all about. It's about having fun and, you know, gaining new perspective and new experiences. So I appreciate your guys' time sharing that. And, you know, hopefully you enjoyed it as well. And don't forget today's
absolutely.
Show. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, if anybody wants to know, because, I mean, clearly, we did not cover,
no.
like, anything. Like, we covered some, but there's so much more. So, I mean, if you have any questions, you can message me. I'll be happy to answer the best I can. Or I'm sure Pam, but, you know, I'm not going to make her, you know, do that. But also, I'm going to have I have a blog post that is going to share my previous experience with Universal. So if you want to, you know, see some of the photographs and see a little bit more of what Universal does have to offer, that's not just Harry Potter, because clearly there's way, 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 way more and that I could have definitely talked about for hours probably. But yeah, so you can just go to my blog at DisneyWorldAfterAll.com and see more.
All
Sorry,
right. No.
I just felt like I should share that there's a lot more than just.
No, I'm glad you. I mean, that's how it is with any of these topics. You know, it's like we could talk on them for 3 hours. I just, you know, people's time is valuable, and we didn't
right.
want to go too long.
Of
so definitely, course, we, yes, and we definitely. Might come back and yeah. revisit this at some point too, and kind of, you know, dive into, you know, beyond Harry Potter or something. But of course, you know, we're going to do Disney. That's what we do here. But as I was getting ready to say, it's Friday, so our show's brought to you by the good folks over at the Magic for Less. And let me just tell you, one of the advantages of working with a great travel agent over at the Magic for Less is that we have a team of agents, and the expertise is kind of all over the place. So, you know, a lot of us are huge hardcore Disney fans, as I am. You know, I've sailed on the Disney Cruise Line many times, go to Walt Disney World frequently, and so, you know, I can help some guests with that and really have lots of good firsthand experience. But, you know, if you want to go to Universal, they have experts as well that are Universal experts. You know, they've done all the trainings, they know everything about the hotels and the theme park experiences and, you know, where to eat over there and all that stuff, just like, you know, Disney. So if you want to book a package, you know, or head over to Universal, you can do that just as well with the Magic for Less. They're going to give you first-class concierge-level service over there as well. And, of course, Disney, too. So don't forget, if you're thinking about Disney, great special for the spring going into the early summer. You can save up to 30% off your deluxe accommodations. And, of course, it goes down at the moderates and the values. But either way, you can save some great money. It's a great time to be in Central Florida. So check them out. Support the folks who support us over at the Magic for Less. BRGuestWaltDisneyWorld.com. Now let's get to the quick announcement here for March. In March, we're going to be doing something called March Madness here on the Be Our Guest podcast. And we always want to get you involved in the show. We love having our live shows once a month. We love doing our listener question shows every Wednesday. That's awesome hearing from you there. But we're going to take it to the next level. And in March, we are going to have a guest co-host every Friday for the month of March, where we're just going to randomly pick listeners who apply, you know, or just throw their name in a hat. We're not going to have any. It's going to be totally random. We're just going to pick names at random. We'll tell you how to do that here next week. We'll come up with a system that's fair, and then we're just going to pick out four names, and you get to come on the show. You're a co-host. You're going to be, you know, you can even pick the topic for the week if you want to, and it'll be your show. So we'll talk Disney, and, you know, you can pick what you want to talk about. We'll all sit in together and do a Friday show. You'll be on the panel. We'll have a good time talking Disney and get you on the show here for March Madness. So we have 1 month to go for that. Details to come, but hopefully you enjoy that. And we'd love to have you as a part of the Be Our Guest podcast in March, as always. And don't forget, you can follow us on social media. We'll be talking about it there. We're on Twitter at Be Our Guest Mike. We're on Facebook at Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And Ricky's going to put that up there, I'm sure, sometime here soon, you know, giving details with that. And of course, join the friendliest forums on the internet over at BeOurGuestPodcast.com/forums. And please do check out Magical Mouse Radio, great Walt Disney World in-park audio and music 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And we're going to celebrate Valentine's with you, 36 straight hours of Valentine's and Disney love songs, starting on Friday, February 13th, all the way through Valentine's Day, right there at MagicalMouseRadio.com. All right, we're going to get out of here because I feel like, Ricky, what are those bad guys? Dementors? I think there's a Dementor like giving me the, you know, giving me the force choke.
Oh my God.
I feel like I'm losing it.
Force choke. They just suck your soul out.
They're sucking my soul out. I can feel it. I'm losing it. Keep this saying, get back. Anyway, so hopefully you enjoyed the show. I paid attention. I know what a Dementor is now.
Ah, we didn't get to quiz him, Pam.
I know. You can
there will be a private quiz.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Great, great. Wonderful. All right, well, you know what? It's time for me to go. So for Ricky, Debbie, and Pam, I'm the teacher. I'm not the student. We hope you have a great weekend. Stay safe, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.
There are things like, you know, you'll be able to visit. sorry. I tried to put on pause, but it wouldn't have helped anyways because we would have had to edit that out.
Pam's dying. It's cool.
You have to kick me off the podcast.
Yeah.
You're out.
I can't do it.
It's because we're talking about Harry Potter.
No.
I'm force choking you from here. I'm giving you the Darth Vader.
Now you're using magic.
That's what we're talking about. Well, keep going. You know, we're keeping this stuff in. We're real. People know.
Gosh,
it's Friday.
Go ahead.
I'll cut it out. Go ahead.